This is the Texas Standard. I'm Joy Diaz. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, nearly 4 out of every 10 adults in the U.S. are obese, and numbers trickle down to children, too. 1 in 10 preschoolers are obese. Obesity and related illnesses are said to disproportionately affect poor and minority communities. One theory is that access to healthy food is the deciding factor, but now some say it could also be something else. Priya Fielding Singh is a doctoral candidate in sociology at Stanford University, and she recently published an article in the Los Angeles Times about precisely this. Priya, welcome.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Tell me a little bit about the current theory that obesity hits most due to a lack of access to healthy food.
So this has been the prevailing theory about why we see disparities in diet across socioeconomic status. We all are kind of familiar now with the term food deserts,
right,
which refers to an area that has a dearth of healthy food options like supermarkets and grocery stores. And food deserts tend to be, well, they're defined by the USDA as they have to be a low-income census tract. And we've tried to understand whether these food deserts or differences in people's proximity to supermarkets actually are driving the differences that we see in diet across class. So is this why low-income people tend to consume diets of lower quality that contribute to some of the diseases and health issues that you've outlined?
Right. That's what we knew, but you know now something else, right? I mean, you have done interviews with people from various incomes, and you learned something new. What did you find?
Right. That's right. You know, I talked to parents across class, and parents, poor and affluent alike, cared about their kids eating a healthy diet. They wanted their kids to be healthy, and they knew that nutritious food was important for that. But parents were also bombarded all the time with requests for junk food from their kids. And what I found was that the meaning of food shaped the way that parents reacted and responded to those requests. So while most affluent parents told me that they regularly denied these requests, they regularly said no to their kids about junk food, poor parents were more likely to say yes when they could.
Why?
And it's because these requests actually meant really different things to the parents.
Okay.
So for poor parents who were raising their kids in an environment where they had to say no all the time, like they had to say no to the latest pair of Nikes or to a family vacation. In that context of having to say no to everything else, junk food was actually something that poor parents could afford to say yes to. Like they could almost always find that buck to buy their kids a can of Coke.
Parents want to show their kids that they love them. And but at the same time, there's this conflict, right? What is medically recommended? Where do you find that healthy balance?
Yeah, I mean, I've taken issue for years with two things. One is, you know, really placing the blame on parents. These parents that I met were truly doing their best within the constraints that they were facing. Like, there was no parent who I spoke with who said, I don't care about my child's
absolutely
health, or I want my child to suffer health-wise because
right
of this. They were doing their best, and I think that sometimes we frame obesity and type 2 diabetes as, you know, problems of the individual and a lack of willpower, a lack of knowledge. But I actually find that it's not those things. It's the environments within which parents are doing their best that are leading to these kinds of challenges. So, you know, from my perspective, one very challenging but simple solution is to improve the financial standing and resources of poor families. Like, if we lifted these families out of poverty and we made it so that parents could consistently meet their kids' wants and needs, then, you know, a bag of Cheetos would just be a bag of Cheetos. It wouldn't be this uniquely potent symbol of love and care for a parent to give their child. The meaning of food itself would change for them.
Priya Fielding Singh is a doctoral candidate in sociology at Stanford University, talking about how food and affection are deeply connected in economically disadvantaged communities. Priya, thank you.
Thank you so much.
And you're listening to the Texas Standard.